Please turn to page 844. You can tell I'm nervous, can't you? Okay. And we'll do the psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord,
who made heaven and earth. The Lord will not let your foot be moved. The Lord who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, the one who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil and will keep your life. The Lord will keep you and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
A reading from the epistles this morning, no, not the epistles, the Old Testament this morning is found on page 9 of your Old Testament, if you'd like to follow along. Book of Genesis, 12:1-4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll jump down to 13 through 17. It can be found on page 144 in your Pew Bibles, New Testament. Hear these words. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the inheritance of the law, who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants. Not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into the existence the things that do not exist. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn to a familiar story. I hope it is for you. If not, it will be soon. Let us turn to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. What's the Bible verse you see at football games and baseball games? Anybody know? John 3:16. Who is speaking? Okay, is that a knowledgeable answer or a guess? I'm sorry, of course it is. Yes, it is Jesus who is speaking. But let's figure out, by listening, where that happened. John 3, 1 through 17 is on page 88 of the New Testament of your Pew Bible. So please, I encourage you to follow along. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is one of those Sundays when all of the readings are connected. They all speak to us in some very important patterns. As you think about this last reading from the Gospel of John, it seems, and you're right, it seems that Nicodemus didn't have a clue. But we really must understand what Jesus is saying to us. So what does it mean to be born of the Spirit? And what does that look like anyway? We can look to Abram as an example of how you ought to reconfigure your life in tune with God's Holy Spirit. When this Pharisee leader Nicodemus came under cover of darkness to find out more about this radical teacher from Nazareth, Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit." Now, clearly, Nicodemus took Jesus literally and tried to figure out how it was humanly possible to be born again. Jesus tried to be patient because he recognized that Nicodemus was genuinely interested in understanding. Jesus said, "Yes, Each of us is born of our mothers in a human birth, to be born of water. But we also must be born of the Spirit in order to truly follow God's instructions and to enter into God's kingdom. Now, this is certainly where many fundamental denominations come up with their understanding of a specific event of conversion to Christianity, when they talk of being born again. My sister, have you been born again into the life of following Jesus Christ? For some people, there surely is a specific time and a place when they committed their lives to Christ, an event when they felt God's presence tangibly, a come to Jesus moment, if you will. But it doesn't always happen like that. There was no lightning bolt experience for me, and maybe it didn't happen like that for you either. And my problem with this kind of understanding is that in the metaphor of birth, it is a one-time occurrence. Just as in Nicodemus' understanding, a human being is born only once. But I believe that for most of us, conversion happens many times over the course of our lifetime. It seems more like an ongoing process. But there are similarities in this metaphor of human birth. When you were born, you slowly grew into relationship with your family. You began to understand how you relate to the people who love you, the people who surround you. When you're born, you have to learn the language and the culture. And ultimately, you take on the worldview of those around you who are raising you. As you learn and grow, you begin to see the world through new eyes. Well, it's quite similar when you're born of the Spirit. When you truly commit your life to trusting and serving God through belief in Jesus Christ, when you join a church, you come into new relationship with God, in new relationship with those in your congregation. You become part of a loving faith community. You have to learn the language and the culture of the church. And most importantly, when you take seriously God's call upon your life, you begin to see the world very differently. You start to see the world through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And then you try to be more Christ-like as you take action to make the world a better place. Do you want a good example of being born of the Spirit? Take a look at Abram. As Melba read, we have to start by understanding this. Abram was 75 years young when he listened to God's particular calling. 75 years when he listened. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Clearly, God had really big things in mind for Abram. He would become the leader of a great nation and an evangelist to the entire earth. And God had a pretty stiff price that Abram would have to pay. Abram had to leave his country. He had to leave his family of origin. He had to leave all the money and power and wealth that he had inherited from his father in order to follow God's instructions. Abram had to give up all of that and take off on a mysterious journey that had no discernible destination. All that Abram knew for sure was that he would not be returning to his former life ever. Wow. Well, that's all well and good for Abram, but what does it mean for you and me to be born of the Spirit? To be born of the Spirit is to recognize that the Holy Bible is the most important book in your life, and to take seriously the call to read it and study it on a daily basis. To be born of the Spirit is to become an active member of a faith community, committing your time, your attention, your prayers, your money, and your witness to the Church of Jesus Christ. To be born of the Spirit is to participate with a small group of people in a Bible study, or the United Methodist Women, or the United Methodist Men. A small group with whom you can compare notes on this Christian journey, to find a supportive cadre of people with whom you can be in Christian conferencing, as John Wesley put it. To be born of the Spirit is to find a ministry that sparks your imagination and utilizes your particular gifts. Volunteering at the Denver Urban Ministries or the Aurora Interchurch Task Force or Kairos Prison Ministries, for example. To be born of the Spirit is to recognize that the people of the world, all of God's people, are truly your sisters and brothers. So that when something happens, like the earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear disaster in Japan, you take it seriously and personally, and you do something to try to alleviate the suffering of your sisters and brothers. Today is a good day. Today is God's day. Today we presented Bibles to some of our youngest and brightest Christian sisters and brothers. And we have an obligation to our young people of this church to become role models worthy of their trust and hope. Today is the vernal equinox, the first day of spring. What better time to think long and hard about your commitment to God? What better time to truly be born of the Spirit? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. My sisters and brothers, saving the world starts with you. Amen.